Pastor, for letting me be back in your pulpit today. It's always good to be in the Lord's house, and when you have Missions Conference and Missions Week and Missions Month, it's good to sing the great missionary songs like Brother Collins has led us in. If you have your Bible today, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, because our message is going to be basically in 2 Corinthians. As we've been talking about missions the last two Sundays and then now today, and I do kind of privilege to be able to do that, I just bring you up, and by the way, all that we've said the last 2 weeks and what we're going to say today is basically a review with probably the vast majority of you that are here in the auditorium. You're not ignorant concerning missions. You're not ignorant concerning or negligent concerning your giving. It's incredible that this congregation, and I believe we're going to hit that 3,000 today. If we miss it a little bit, I'll just say, preacher, you pick up the last of it and make it 300. We'll hold him to it, okay? Take it out of his salary or something. But anyway, when we started out, the first Sunday we were talking about the importance of missions in the local church. And certainly missions in the local church is because of what's happening today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ again today. And if there were no resurrection, there would be no mission. There would be no church. And I was reading this morning, in fact, I read in Matthew chapter 28 this morning at home, and then I read also the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And in Matthew chapter 28, you come down through there. The angels had rolled a stone away, and Mary came to the tomb, and the angel spoke to them, said, "Don't fear. He is not here. He is risen." And then in the very next phrase, says, "He is risen. Come and see." And then he said, "Go and tell." And that's a mission message right there, isn't it? Okay, come look at the grave. It's empty. Come and see, but go and tell. And go and tell throughout the entire world. And when you read through the book of Acts, the history of the church in the book of Acts, 19 different messages or thoughts that have been revealed, witnesses have been given, and all 19 times, resurrection is the key thought of it all. Now, you're going to get that in the messages today. So anyhow, it's because of the resurrection that we have hope. It's because of the resurrection we are preaching and teaching is not in vain. It's because of resurrection, you and I have the joy and the hope of life eternal. And if there were no resurrection, we would be without hope. So thank God for the resurrection. But also, the very message that Jesus gave to us, the mandate is to go, and the message is the gospel, and the sphere is the world. And we need to be mindful of that. So that's what we talked about the first Sunday. Last Sunday we talked about the importance, or instruction rather, in faith promise. Now today I want to talk basically about information or involvement in it. So you have your Bible. I want you to turn over to the book of Acts, or the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Man, you think after 70 years you wouldn't be nervous, but I'm nervous as a cat on a tin roof. But anyhow, bear with me in my blindness. And so there again, and thanks for your prayers and your patience. Now, those of you that got eyes, you can see it. I can hardly see it, but I can see there's a word up there that says MIPCAS. It's an acrostic. And MIPCAS, years ago I came across, a writing, it might have been by Tremendous Jones, but it was a promotional preacher, a speaker. And he was talking about promotion, whether it was insurance or whatever, I don't remember. But anyhow, he said, make it big and keep it simple. Well, that works also in the secular part of it. But I came up with this idea that missions is big, missions is biblical, keep it spiritual. That makes a good biblical. Now, I did this one time several years ago. I had it on the blackboard. We didn't have the screens back a few years ago, or that church didn't anyway. And I had a blackboard up here and put the word MIPCAS on it, and I didn't have what was below it. And so I said, well, what do you think that means? And I've given a couple. One young lad, just like here, the young people were in the auditorium. One young lad, he raised his hand, and he said, and I said, yeah, you know what the MIPCAS is? He said, yeah. He said, missions is bad. Keep it small. Boom. I thought, I don't dare do that again. So, no, missions is not bad. Missions is big. Keep it special. And certainly we need to be mindful of that. So that's what we were talking about last Lord's Day, the information. But today I want to talk about basically the procedure of faith promise. So you have your Bible. I want you to turn to read two portions of Scripture. Basically, we're going to deal with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 to 9. Those will be our key verses, along with just a couple of others. But I want to introduce our lesson today with 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, these are, again, familiar verses to you that have been in missions conferences because these are used often. I've used them many, many times. And so the reason why we use Corinthians for faith promise is because when the Apostle Paul was writing the letter, he was writing the letter to the church at Corinth and to remind them that they had made a commitment a year before, and they were to follow the example of the churches of Macedonia. Now, the churches of Macedonia, which is today modern Greece, they were the first church in the Western Hemisphere, started by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16, and then Thessalonica in chapter 17. But when you read those two churches, and then you read the letters that Paul wrote to those churches later, Philippians, the book of Philippians and the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Paul speaks to them, speaks about their great faith and their involvement. And so now he's addressing the church at Corinth, which Paul had also established, and to remind them that there was a need for an offering for people in Jerusalem in particular that had fallen upon hard times, and also that it was important that those that were traveling, like Paul, Luke, and Barnabas, and Timothy, and so, and Titus, that there was a need for them to be sustained by the churches. And so this is basically what Paul is reminding the church at Corinth about. So you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1 to 7, and I'll stagger through the verses. You'll follow along with me. We're going to read these verses with a few comments. So starts off in verse number 1, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Now what's that word wit mean? What's that word wit? That's an old English word. We sometimes used to hear it. He's about his wits. You ever hear that? How many of you ever heard that kind of a comment? He's about his wits. Or his wits is missing or something like that. I don't remember. But anyhow, he said, moreover, brethren, I do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now, that word wit there means to make known. To make known or to know. So you read it like that. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, and in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now what Paul is doing is referring to the churches of Philippi and Thessalonica, Macedonia churches, and reminds them that in the midst of poverty and all, they were rich in their generosity. They were poverty didn't bother them and didn't stop them. Now also I make mention of this to you. We do not boast, as we read in chapter 10, we do not boast of other men's labors, but we also have examples. This church is a great example to multitudes of churches. We don't go around to different conferences, even though very seldom I go to a church that I do not mention the great mission church that Berean Baptist is, and you are. Now, don't boast about that. Just thank God that you do that because God has given you the grace to do it. Follow? But Paul used the church of Thessalonica and of Philippi to say, these churches, they're doing it, and they're poor, they're not rich. And if you get the history of the church of Philippi, you may get that when you have your Dr. Alexander here, but anyhow, they were not rich churches. But they were rich in faith. And their riches in faith led to their liberality. So Paul is saying, Church Corinth, what they have done is an example for you to follow suit. And certainly all of us can profit from the success and the generosity and the giving and the sending out of missionaries of others. So that's basically what Paul's saying here in the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said, verse number three. He said, for there to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now, let me pause again. Willing of themselves. If you're involved in missions, if you're going to be involved in missions, it is because there is a desire, a deep-seated, burning desire down in your soul that this is what God has commanded to us. This was the first command the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church, and His first command should always be our first concern. And all through the ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was always concerned about compassion. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. It was the miracles, it was the healings and all of that, but it was the compassion of Jesus Christ when He saw the multitudes without a shepherd, a sheep without a shepherd. And that we need to be reminded of. He said they were first willing of themselves. They rejoiced in what they received. When the Apostle Paul came to Philippi, they rejoiced in what Paul had given to them at the church at Thessalonica, and they were rejoicing in that. And then it says they were willing of themselves. You see, all of us have to have a desire to do what we do. If you're just doing, well, I better do it. Just well, forget it. There's no joy in that. There is joy in giving and blessing in giving, but it is not a joy and it's not a blessing. Well, I guess I better do something. Just forget it. And this is basically what Paul said here to the church. He said they were willing of themselves, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse number 5. And this they did, said Paul, not as we hope, but first gave themselves unto the Lord and to us by the will of God. Verse number 6 and 7. Insomuch that we desired Titus, who, like Timothy, was the son in the ministry to Paul. He said, we desired Titus that as he had begun, that he would also finish in you this same grace also. That was a year ago. They said, yeah, we're going to do something, but it hadn't come true yet. And so this is what he said. So then verse number 7, therefore, said Paul in verse number 7, chapter 8, ye, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this gift also. Follow what he's saying? That's basically what Paul was telling them. Do it. Now, so okay, that's what they were doing. Let's get down to the mechanics of it. We've got the mandate. We've got the message. We've got whatever. We've got the materialism. The people, and now we've got the mechanics right here in chapter 9, verse number 5. And we're going to go through there and give you four or five things. Some of you may remember the last time I spoke on this particular subject was, I think, 3 years ago on the missions conference when we talked about the principles. Might not have been 3 years ago. Might have been somewhere I don't remember. When you get to be as old as I am, it's hard to some. Can't hardly remember where you are. Where you are. Now, verse number 5. Therefore, and by the way, let me stop. In chapter 8, chapter 8, 9, and 10, the message to the church of Corinth, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, deals with the subject of giving. And giving is never an offense if we're in tune with God. That's why in chapter 8, it's the giving of ourself. They were willing of themselves. They gave themselves. And when you and I have committed ourselves to the Lord, He's redeemed us because of the resurrection. Our sins are forgiven. And all of that. They were willing of themselves. In chapter 8, I say, it was the giving of self. Chapter 9 is the giving of our substance. In chapter 10, if we have time, we'll talk about just a brief, the success of it all. Giving of self, giving of substance, getting the success. Seen in chapter 10. Okay, chapter 9, chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 5. Therefore, Paul said, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Well, if you have noticed before, the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Then he says in verse number 6, but this I say, he was so sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he was sowed bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, verse 7, every man, every person, 12 years old, 90 years old, every person, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound. I'm so glad that's in there. It's not the promises of presidential candidates. It's not, or the Pope or anybody else. God is able. And all that we have and all that we do, all because God is able. Verse 8 further, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, church, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now let's just look at chapter 10 just right quick. If we run out of time, at least we've read the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you see the success of it. Giving of ourselves, chapter 8. Giving of our substance, chapter 9. We'll explain that in a moment, the mechanics of it, of our faith promise. Chapter 10, you see the success of it, where Paul said, chapter 10, verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached unto you, for we were come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, you know, we don't have anything to boast about. You church of Corinth, you don't have anything to boast about. We came to you, we preached to you the gospel. And we might say that in this day and age. We do not have anything to boast about, because God, in His grace and in His mercy, reached down to us. We have received the gospel when today you and I are sitting here. And in our world that we live in, of 7,400,000,000 people, and a vast majority have no concept at all that Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and rose again, and he rose again, and we are justified by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The vast majority don't. So we're saved. We are to glory. As Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. When we celebrated the Lord's Supper on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we, most fundamental Baptists, not all of them, but I don't fall out with them, but I personally believe Christ was crucified on Wednesday. But if you don't believe that, you saw it on Friday, God bless you, that's okay. He rose. And it came out the first day of the week early in the morning. So that we know that, right? Now, that's beside the point. Oh, I said that to say this. You and I do not boast in where I'm saved. Well, thank God. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, but he rose again, that we might be justified and have peace. Now, notice the rest of the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, verse number 15. So, Paul said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is what, folks? When your faith is what? Increased. We shall be enlarged to you according to our rule abundantly. Now, if you recall, I'm fortunate that I do recall, Luke 17:5, the very first verse we gave to you two Sundays ago, the first verse we gave to you was Luke 17:5, when the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And it is by faith. That's why we call faith promise offering and so on. But anyway, then we come to where Paul is talking about a missions offering to the church at Corinth, and he talks to them not boasting of other men's labors, regardless of what the churches have done in this town or that city or where, regardless, we do not boast about our own, but we thank God for what we have. So he said, not boasting of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased. Paul said, we shall be enlarged. That means he said, we shall be supported or sustained by you. When your faith is increased. For what purpose, Paul? Verse 16 is the answer of it all. It goes all the way back to Matthew chapter 28, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 21, and Mark chapter 16. All go back. What did Paul say in verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Verse number 16, what does it say? Verse 16. See, so verse 16, so to preach to God, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you, support you. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions that are beyond you. That's missions. And that was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Are you still with me? Oh, got all quiet. I don't know if I said something wrong or didn't understand it right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 5. And we'll get just take the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the procedures. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 5, you know it's a very dead verse. What did he say there? I have to come back and find the scriptures. You think I'd have it memorized now, wouldn't you? I do have it memorized, but sometimes you get to draw blanks. So Paul said, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Pause. What does the word bounty mean? Make up beforehand. Watch the word. Make beforehand your bounty, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. That word covetousness means not something that is coerced out of you. The word bounty, and remember, he's talking about a missions offering, right? He says here, make up before. Paul said it was necessary to exhort the brethren that they go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Now, that's basically what a missions month and a missions conference is all about. It is going before you and to take up a bounty, make up beforehand your bounty. Now, that word bounty is an old English word that means this. Your promised gift. You see, the church had promised, but they had not yet followed through. And so that's why Paul was reminding them, because of what was done in Philippi and Thessalonica, Berea, that they needed to follow through what was done. He said, make up beforehand your promise. Because Paul said, we're on our way. And when we arrive there, we want to collect it, take it to Jerusalem. And so, he said, make up beforehand, I exhort the brethren. Now, the word exhort means to encourage and to challenge and to motivate and to get you just to do what God wants you to do. Make up beforehand your bounty. What does bounty mean? Promised gift. Now, when you have been praying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You did that a year ago, you did that 2 years, some of you did it 40 years ago. You prayed, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you had a missions conference or a missions renewal, and you would do it on a yearly basis. You say, why do you do this every year? Well, there are different reasons why. I don't know if I know very many of them, but we've just done it. But anyway, probably one of the reasons why, we have $300,000 this year. We do not know what we're going to do this year. That's why I said, make up beforehand your promised gift. Make up beforehand your faith promise offering for missions. And can I remind you, faith promise offering for missions is not your tithe. And if you're not tithing, you're stealing from God. If you're not giving to missions, well, that's between you and the Lord, and you may not be stealing, but you're robbing yourself of a blessing. So make up beforehand your promised gift. Now, I say that again because in a year's time, congregations change. You have some that move away. In fact, we have two fine families that are leaving now that probably would have an effect upon our faith promise. Follow what I'm saying? We've had some through the year that have come. We've had some new folks come in, and God bless you, everyone that's come new. You come from a church with a faith promise, you finish out your year there, you come here, then we encourage you to join in with us at Brian and get started. If you've never been involved in faith promise, try it. You'll like it. God will not fail you. So that's verse number 5, 2 Corinthians 9, in a nutshell. And by the way, that's why you have a card or slip. I don't know what the pastor is going to use this year, but there's cards. Churches do different things. Some have their design cards. Some have purchase cards. And so you make up beforehand your promise. Now, why do you do that? So that when all the people that are going to participate in this year's missions program to next April, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we keep on living, this basically gives the church leadership a little bit of a knowledge of how can we do our missions program this year. Instead of just launching out and supporting, doubling our support and taking on another 100 missionaries, No, well, let's just see what our faith is. Now, that's not the bottom line, because some people wouldn't put their amount on the card. You don't put your name on her, by the way. It wouldn't put the amount on there, I mean, if the Lord were coming today. But that's just a smart-aleck remark. But the card basically gives you how that you can do missions decently and in order. Not boasting of other men's labors, not boasting, we can do that. It's God that moves upon your heart. And if God doesn't move upon your heart, it won't work. So that's basically the card. You'll get more about that from Pastor next week. So verse number five is just basically make up beforehand your promised gift, that the same might be ready as a promised gift and not as of covetousness. Let me add to that. Not as of covetousness means it is your desire and not a demand. It is your faith and not force. It is you that decides what you, and between you and the Lord, what you're going to do, what you're going to put on your offering envelope or what you're going to put in your offering envelope above your tithe. Either yes, no, or you're either going to do or not to do. You're either going to give or not give. You're either going to participate or procrastinate. One or the other. When there's no faith, there's no finance. Where there's no give, there's no finance, there's no fruit. Where there's no giving, there's no going. And there's no going, there's no treasures in heaven. So basically that gives you that part of that part, chapter 9, verse 5. Now look at verse number 6, and we hasten. I'm not going to spend time on 6. And I kind of can't even find it back in my notes now. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Verse number 6, he that soweth sparingly. I basically just call that a principle. The principle, verse number 6, is basically the principle of our giving. It is basically the principle, you sow, you reap. You don't sow, you don't reap. That's true of anything. If you, those of you that have a garden, or are going to plant a garden, by the way, I got some potatoes in Friday and some onions. And when it warms up, I'll try to get the rest in if I keep breathing. But anyway, if you don't sow it, you're not going to get it. That's the same way with missions. You're not going to have the joy of the treasures in heaven of souls that have been redeemed in the regions that are beyond. That's extra bonus. That's really a bonus to our giving. You know, when you give your tithe, you are blessed. God bless you with your tithe giving. You have all the comforts of whatever we could want. While you're tithe giving, it's for the maintenance of the church, it's for the ministry of the church, it's for the buildings, it's all of this. All we're all very comfortable here because somebody's been tithing. Now, also, but the joy, I hope I say this right, the joy that you receive beyond our own local personal blessings is that when you have given to missions, and that money has been entrusted in those missionaries who have gone to various regions around the world, the Shropshires in Australia, and the Spoolstras, that's a good name, Spoolstra. It sounds almost like Boomstra. And Koistra, and all the others, okay. Makes it possible for them to be our missionary in the Netherlands. Or you have the garrisons in Germany. Or you have the others that are in regions that are probably easier. It's easier. Or you have bigger, for example, in Kenya or Zambia. You know, missionary goes there, and first thing you know, he's had 1,000 people saved and baptized, etc. Whereas if in a lifetime you get 1,000 saved in Australia, you're going to have double treasure in heaven, I think. But I say that to say this. When you give to missions, that is a double bonus of God's blessing. Because you're providing funds to make it possible to fulfill the Great Commission on a personal basis, taking the gospel, those who would take the gospel. You see, all of our missionaries are what? Remember? Staff members. We would not be the church we are without our missionaries. But our missionaries would not be the missionaries they are without you. So that's what we need to put up here on the thing that's second, number two up here. I about forgot I had that back there. Team, together. Everyone does what? More. Isn't that true? Think what we can do together. Everyone achieves more when we do it together. Now let me close. There's much more we could say, but this is not foreign to you. I want you to know, I do want you to know verse 7, because that ties in with this up here. Verse number 7, every man or every person saved, member of the church, part of the church, every person do what? Verse number 7, every person give as he purposed in his personal, his what? Heart. You see, missions is a heart matter. We prove our love by our giving. We prove our love by our sacrificing. We prove our love by our going, witnessing, soul winning. Mission, soul winning worldwide. And the mission of the church is missions. Missions is not an extra. It's an essential. Missions is not a maybe. It is a must. And so when we do it together, how do you reach 300,000 out of 300 people? There has to be some togetherness. Unity in the church, unity in heart, unity in purpose and motive. Let's do what we can together to get the gospel out to the end of the earth. And I have one more up here. I don't know if it'll show up or not. Have you got one more up here, fellas? Okay. You get the picture? Now, you have to be an old-time farmer to see that you've got a stream of horses, string of horses, I think they call them, hooked up to a plow, and they're pulling together. One horse cannot do it, two cannot do it, but three can do it, or four. And that's the same with us. Amen? And when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, wait a minute. Verse number 8. Verse 8, read it and we'll quit. Verse number 8 says, God is able. Where's my faith promise coming to? Now, God knows how to provide. You prayed, Lord, increase my faith. I want to be part of the missions program of the church. I want to continue to be a program, part of the program of the church. How did it happen? God is not broke. And when you're giving to missions, you are pleasing the very heart of God. The dearest thing to the heart of God was the giving of His Son at Calvary. The next dearest thing to the heart of God is when He rose from the grave. Jesus came out of the grave and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what God desires us to do. And if He desires us that to do, He never asked us to do anything but what He'd enable us to carry it out. You believe that? God is able. He can increase your income. He can decrease your expenses. He can help you to live more frugally. And by the way, if you're not living on a budget, get one. You'll probably save anywhere from 10 to 30% of your income if you have a budget. If you just cash your check with paycheck, stick it in your pocket, you're broke. But if you budget, there will be some. God knows how to get how to for you to live frugally like a tightwad Dutchman. You say, what's a tightwad Dutchman? I probably could have Brother Spools for answer to that, but let me give it to you. A tightwad Dutchman is a fellow that can buy from a Jew, sell to a Scotsman, and still make a profit. Amen. God is able. And God desires for us to do it. Amen? As we come to the Lord, pray this week earnestly. Great missions coming with our missionaries. Next Lord's Day, we come and fill out our slip and card or whatever we do, and let's do it together, striving together to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor.